According to a recent poll, museums are among America's most popular destinations. Tourists, school groups, and families on a rainy weekend like to go to museums. And a museum that attracts a lot of visitors also attracts donors. But a wealthy philanthropist with a specific idea about how she wanted her money spent has withdrawn a substantial donation from the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. The incident illustrates the challenge museum directors face when trying to raise money. Alex Van Oss has the first of two reports.
In the wake of September 11th, attendance at some museums dropped as much as 50%. The terrorist attacks had other effects, says Edward Abel, who heads the American Association of Museums.
All funding sources, funding streams for museums are being undermined simultaneously. Earned income, grants from foundations are going to be dropping, government funding, and then finally contributions. All four of those are being undermined simultaneously. I think this is the first time in history that that has happened.
That was in December. The funding picture is better now, and attendance is recovering. Museums need income from admissions and shop sales. They also need donations. For example, over just the last 2 years, the Smithsonian Institution brought in more than $385 million in gifts. Not all museums get that much money, but the quest for funding has led to all kinds of financial arrangements, says Gary Vican, who directs the Walters Art Museum in Baltimore.
In the olden days, and that's not so long ago, major corporations gave to museums out of their foundation. A foundation is created by a corporation in order to serve community needs. It's kind of a social or civic obligation, as felt by these corporations. And so it's given almost with no intention whatsoever of any return, except a general kind of leavening of the public good. Nowadays, you might see a mix or a total movement of the corporate support into their marketing division. The intent there is often to couple the brand identity of a corporation with a high-profile public event at a museum. So they have a very specific interest in a real outcome, namely people seeing their name, lots of people seeing their name.
Recently, the Smithsonian Institution offered to add General Motors' name to one of its exhibition halls in exchange for a gift of $10 million, a name that now appears above both main entrances of the National Museum of American History is that of Kenneth Baring. He's a real estate developer and philanthropist who's given clothes and supplies, including thousands of wheelchairs, to third world countries. And he's given $100 million to the Smithsonian.
I am concerned that my money is spent to get a full value out of it. I think the private sector and the public sector spends money a little different, so there's a little conflict of where you've earned the money. You want to make sure that there's value received for what's spent. So I would like to work with them and make sure that we're getting good prices and that we're getting value received.
Baring has earmarked his money for renovations and also for a new history exhibition called The Price of Freedom. Baring has specific ideas about what it should say to visitors.
I'm concerned that when people walk out of that museum that they will feel that, yes, we are a great country. Maybe we've got problems, and maybe we've always had different problems, but we're still the greatest country in the world.
Doing what donors desire is a dodgy issue because curators feel their job is to inform based on scholarship and research. Recently, the Smithsonian lost a $38 million gift when its curators and the donor, Catherine Reynolds, did not see eye to eye over the design and purpose of a proposed exhibition. Problems arise when museums try to tailor displays to the dollars being offered instead of coming up with an idea and then seeking money to fund the project. Walters Museum Director Gary Vican says it's crucial for institutions to have a clear mission statement.
It helps to guide the ship when it's dark and foggy. It's that thing you always come back to so that you know, does this fit with what we're really about? Does this make sense for us? Is this something we should be doing? We are mission-driven. We are market-sensitive. And I think keeping that prioritization, and that market is the person who walks in off the street with an $8 ticket. It's the corporation with a $500,000 sponsorship. It's a donor with 350 pieces of Thai sculpture. And it's a donor with $1 million for a named gallery. Each of these is part of our market of support. And each of these things must be measured against the mission that we as an institution in the public trust have to fulfill.
Beacon says the Walters, a smaller museum, gets some funds from endowments, some from gifts, and about 30% from state and local government. Down the road, the huge Smithsonian Institution gets 70% of its funds from the federal government. That's still not enough. It has to raise millions in donations to pay for exhibitions. Compare this with Europe, where high taxes pay for museums, which are considered important bearers of culture and heritage.
Moderne Sammlung, Sibylle macht mich gerade aufmerksam darauf.
Ernst and Sibylle Badstübner-Gröger are professors and curators active in Berlin museums.
Das sind Schenkungen, aber das sind auch keine deutschen Sammlungen. Das sind,
most people still believe that the state should bear the lion's share of the costs and that they are not so far that they think, oh, well, it should only go to the private sector or the private sector should be the main supports. No, they don't believe that.
But these days, even European museums are turning to the American model and seeking funds from banks, industry, and private donors.
The state doesn't have the money to support as it had in the past.
Besonders in Berlin.
Especially, yes, of course, in Berlin. The tendency now is to remove government as much as possible. And they're even wanting now to privatize monument preservation, leaving this up to the private sector to step in, I suppose, and pay for the renovation and the preservation of monuments.
This, and I don't know how to pronounce that name, Hammershøi, probably, Hammershøi, Wilhelm Hammershøi, but he has this wonderful, incredibly powerful.
Back in Baltimore, Gary Vekin does not consider privatization to be a bad thing. He sees the dollar chase as invigorating, a particularly hands-on, close to the consumer, all-American way of going about things. As for putting donors' names on buildings or their brand items on display, if it's handled carefully, he says, it's not a problem.
If the trademark appears in the building on a banner, does that mean they own the building? Of course not. If you're looking at a corporate donor with a specific brand interest, you know, Chrysler does, Ford does, and sometimes they'll ask you to put a car near your museum. That is an area that some directors won't go and some will. Questions of would you take money from a corporation identified with smoking? And again, when you ask the museum directors, there's a full spectrum of responses to that.
Dollars affect the formation and content of exhibitions, but there's another major influence. Museums must appeal not just to donors, but to visitors as well. Their audiences are the other indispensable half of the equation. For NPR News, this is Alex Van Oss in Washington.